Welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf and Whisper D Bunny Dog in the studio today. Well, we were in our beautiful farm, our rehabilitation and training center out in Missouri, and it's just so much fun out there. I just love it. It's where my heart is. And, you know, I think one of the things is that I have such joy of bringing my dogs wherever I want to bring them. And I know a lot of you who are listening would love nothing more than to be able to bring your dogs to places. But your dog doesn't like other dogs, or your dog doesn't like other people, or your dog runs away, or your dog, you know, is scared. So today is going to be dedicated to the 4th of July and to every holiday that we wish we could bring our dogs, but we can't. Hopefully by the next holiday, you will be able to bring your dog anywhere you want him to go. Now, just as an example, this morning, an early afternoon, I was over at a lovely family who's got a dog, very cute, golden, maybe with a little bit of Anatolian Shepherd, and maybe a little bit of Australian Cattle Dog, very pretty dog. But the dog was jumping on the child and literally knocking a four-year-old over, and even going after the baby when the baby would start crawling. Well, that's very common with herding breeds. Super sweet dog, though. Wasn't aggressive at all. Man, the dog yesterday, big 100-pound dog. I've got some good chunks on my arm and some nice teeth marks to add to my collection. These dogs are great dogs, but like when a client calls me and says, "Hey, Janice, I've got the best dog in the world." And then I wait a moment. But, well, obviously there's a but, because otherwise it wouldn't be calling me. I've never had a phone call. "Hey, Janice, I have the best dog in the world. Do you want to come visit him? Just have dinner, because he's just the best dog in the world." That doesn't normally happen. Well, today I was hanging out with one of my favorite people in the world, Casey Butler, at her new house here in New Jersey, and a reformed Pennsylvania girl who's now a Jersey girl. And her beautiful service dog, Callie, who is Wyatt's granddaughter, who works at a special needs school here in New Jersey as the cortisol detection dog. She's amazing, and so is Casey. Well, we saw our good friend Laura with her beagle, Cleo, who I trained, and she's just a great dog, great beagle. We were her fourth home, and she was about not quite 5 months old. You can imagine what they must have been like when they were younger. Now, Callie was one of the Wyatt grandkids, so she was a really great dog right from the beginning. But there's always a reason that people get rid of a dog, and today is dedicated to you being able to take your great dog with no buts. So, for instance, this morning, because yesterday I had Savannah and Romeo out with me, working with the aggressive dog I had mentioned before, who used my arms as pin cushions, but I like that. It's something wrong with me, I think, that I don't mind if a dog bites me. I don't love it. I mean, I don't look for a dog who's going to bite me, but it doesn't bother me. So we had yesterday Romeo and Savannah went with me. Today I took Whisper D Bunny Dog and Kira Puppy, who's a year, who's another Wyatt daughter. And then Whisper is, of course, Wyatt's sister. And then I took little Lexi, and then a couple days before that, I had Wyatt out with me in Missouri. So I can literally take any of my many, many dogs anywhere with whichever dogs I want, obviously, unless one of the girls is in heat. That's a little different. We don't want to make any unplanned puppies, even if they are beautiful. We don't need any unplanned puppies. So when I get to go out, like this morning, I took my three Whisper D Bunny Dog, and who's laying right at my feet in the studio here, Kira Puppy and Lexi, over to Casey's house. And Casey had Callie, of course, and her new very, very sweet, adorable German Shorthair Pointer, also one of my favorite breeds, named Sage, who is now in training and rehabilitation, and will be trained to assist Casey with hopefully cortisol detection, but certainly with the therapeutic facilitation that we'll be doing at the school. Well, Laura comes over with Cleo, and we literally had six dogs who the smallest was probably about 15 pounds. Largest was about 100. And these dogs just came in. They didn't know each other, many of them. They just come on. They smell each other. They go along their way. They're running and playing, and very appropriately, nobody's jumping or humping or barking or growling. Nobody's doing any of the dominant behaviors. Nobody's bumping each other, hovering over each other. And it just occurred to me, and that's why I decided to do this for our topic today. It occurred to me, how many of you can do that? How many of you can take your best dog in the world to where you want to go? Versus how many of you say, I'd love to take my best dog in the world, but I can't take my best dog in the world out because he's got behavioral issues. And that doesn't mean that the dogs are aggressive, but some dogs are uncomfortable. They might not be great with people. They don't like children. They don't like loud noises. Oops, there's an old person. Oops, there's an autistic child who's flapping, and the dog gets scared or runs or goes after him or whatever it is, or they're balloons or umbrellas. Think of all the excuses. Well, my dog doesn't like the car. Well, gee, that's great. God forbid you ever have to go anywhere with the dog. You're going to walk to every place you ever go. So thinking about that, we're going to dedicate today to how to get your dog through the 4th of July fireworks or the Labor Day fireworks, because we certainly, in my town, we have Labor Day fireworks, and the neighboring town does the 4th of July fireworks. It's great, so each town works out very well, and they're big celebrations. We look at fireworks as being amazing, beautiful, shiny, sparkly, colorful, family time, right? Well, think about a veteran with PTSD. Because your dog, some of them, and remember, dogs' ears are so sensitive, it can really damage their hearing. So if you can keep your dog at home away from the fireworks, do that. But if you must take him with you, if it's a service dog or, you know, like a veteran, you think about somebody who's had active duty in Vietnam or in the Middle East and is used to getting shot at or even had injuries or lost people close to him or her. Well, think of fireworks to your dog as a veteran with PTSD. If we can avoid it, let's try to make it easier on the dog. So a lot of times veterans don't want to see fireworks. It's not the seeing the sparklers necessarily with some people, although it certainly can be with some. But what I find most from working with so many veterans through the years is that the veterans oftentimes, when they hear the sounds of the crashes and bangs and the reverberation from side to side of a canyon or whatever, a lot of them kind of get flashbacks of, you know, what might have been, what could have happened, and it's very scary for them. So same thing with your dog. If your dog has issues, now there's all kinds of gimmicks and gadgets and hugging things and shirts and collars and citronella or whatever kind of spray and pheromones. The easiest thing to do with your dog, for the first thing I want you to remember, is allow the dog to go to a nice, quiet, comfortable place where he feels at home. It might be in his crate. Don't lock him in unless he likes being locked in. But just letting the dog go to where he feels comfortable. And we're going to talk about a lot more. Don't try to get him through it. It's only a once-a-year or twice-a-year event. We're going to try our best to get them through it, and then just forget about it. So please stay tuned, because we're going to have a lot more information just in a moment. We'll be right back.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about 4th of July. We're talking about loud noises and how to get your dog through those tough times when perhaps we as humans should be thinking, gee, maybe it's not a great place for my dog. So we're talking about making sure that you allow your dog to go to a safe, comfortable place where he feels that he's not going to be afraid. It might be his crate, it might be the bedroom, it might be a closet. It doesn't matter what it is or where it is, but allow him to feel comfortable there. What do you not want to do? Do not pet the dog while he is being afraid. Just remembering, if you're petting him, you're reinforcing that behavior. So if you don't want to reinforce his fear, then don't pet him and reinforce his fear. It's the same thing as imagine if the dog were running across the street and you would pet him in the middle of the street. You'd be rewarding him and telling him in dog language, hey, buddy, keep running across that street. Great job running across the street. So remembering, anytime that you want to correct it, we're going to make that correction. Remember what we use. I've been doing this, 28 years since I first got my lesson from my midnight kitty. You can always read about that in my book, my latest behavior book for canines. Not my people one, but the canine one. It's called Shh Happens. S-H-H-H Happens. Dog Behavior 101. Because it's about the humans. It's about teaching the humans how to handle the dog so that the dog is then able to function normally, and then we're not reinforcing a bad behavior that we don't want. So just remember that main thing is, for that, is that you don't do anything to reinforce the behavior. Okay? Don't ever do anything to reinforce a negative behavior. So if a dog is fearful, remember, we don't want him to be fearful, right? We want him to be confident. We want him to be comfortable. We want him to be feeling like he's provided for and protected. So fear, unfortunately, we have to correct the same as we would correct dominance, to teach the dog, of course, in a much more gentle way, just a little touch, a little shh sound like you'll read about in my book. You can actually even get the book on Amazon. Just download it for a whopping $9.99. I believe it's still on the promotional price before it goes up to full value. But we wanted to do that to give people a lot of help in a short, concise way so that you don't have to have a dog who's out of control. You don't have to be one of those people who has to, oh, I have to leave the fireworks early so I can go home and check on my dog. We want your dog will be fine as long as you've got a plan in action. Now, one of the nice things about when you do have a little bit of, obviously, at 9 p.m., we will have our fireworks. Well, now you know. Find out, because usually it's somewhere between 8:30 and 9:30 is the start time for most of these firework displays. So what you can do is put a radio on, or even if you can, put the TV on, and put it on pretty loudly, and put it on to a station that has some other like noise in it, if you can. For instance, something like a cooking show that has a lot of pots and pans clinking, or an animal show where the animal show, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom or something like that, where the show already has a lot of noise. Don't pick, sci-fi movies that there's nothing for a long time. Pick something where there are kind of crazy noises. And don't just do it that day. It's generally a good idea to, when you do leave the house, if you have a dog who's reactive to noises or sounds or smells or anything, is to try to have some sounds on when you're there and when you're not there. Another thing that's so important that I don't think people generally do is if you're able to, during the year, right, when you go in and out of doors, go in one door of your house, come out the other, knock on the door when you go in, knock on the door when you come out, knock on the window when you walk by, maybe drop things. Obviously, don't drop breakable things or fragile things that are going to, fall and splash or spatter. But what we want to do is get the dog who is noise sensitive used to sounds other than the things he's sensitive about. Now, my Willow, who was Whispa's and Wyatt's and Prince and Brandy's and Sedona's mother, she was super solid dog. I mean, she won at Westminster. She was, you know, like champ, grand champion. She's an award of a Register of Merit. She's had so many champions. She had something like 12 champions out of 21 puppies. And the only reason it wasn't more than that, there were more that were champions, but that she just needed, I think, 5. Well, the thing is, when you're looking at something that is something we're trying to avoid, what people tend to do when a dog is noise sensitive, they'll try to prevent the noise instead of working with the noise. So think about it for a moment. If a dog is noise sensitive, you would say, oh, well, let's be really quiet. Let's be quiet. Let's not talk. Let's not make noise. Well, then you're making the dog more sensitive, not less sensitive, because now the dog is starting to kind of feel, you know, like, uh-oh, there's sudden bang. Don't slam doors. Just close the doors and work the dog up to it. So if you have let's say the dog is nervous about loud noises, don't slam doors and don't, you know, get into a hissy fit and, you know, because you're having an argument with your husband and, you know, you slam doors. Try to do things sometimes when the dog is nearby, sometimes when he's not. Make sure that your dog isn't too close to you so that if you make a noise, you don't want the dog to start being afraid of you or to be afraid of a particular location or of his crate. So you've got to work that a little. Actually, in my book, you'll definitely see a lot of that and what to do. And it talks about also the developmental phases. Another thing is sometimes dogs will be a little edgy because they're either hungry, they're not getting enough the proper nutrition. So I highly recommend the dog being on a really good top quality organic food or kibble preferably, and you can always add in some organic food, chicken or beef or whatever. Usually I tell people to try to stick with one source of protein, because if you stick with one source of protein, you'll tend not to have the dog being allergic to everything else that's in there. So what I use for my food, I use an all-organic that is just an amazing food. My dogs look great on it. For the vitamin, there's only one vitamin supplement that I use, and it's called Nuvet, N-U-V-E-T, Nuvet.com. You have to use the order code 40560, that's 40560, or tell them you heard about the supplement on from Merlin's Kids, because we get a rescue discount, and then you can save 15% on auto ship. Well, you know, if you only have one dog, maybe that's not a big deal, but I've got 41 dogs right now, plus other dogs in the Merlin's Kids program, and each of them gets either 1, 2, or 4, depending on their age, size, and physical condition. But sometimes dogs get edgy because it's kind of like when you get jittery because maybe you haven't eaten in a while, if you're hypoglycemic or diabetic. Some dogs, especially a dog who's likely to get seizures, you got to make sure he's handled and taken care of nutritionally, too. We're going to talk more about what to do for your noise-sensitive dog in a minute, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf and Wispy D Bunny Dog. We're just having a lot of fun today, and it's so exciting. The 4th of July is mañana. How cool is this going to be? I can't remember the last time that the 4th of July was on a Saturday, probably 7 or 8 years ago. And it's great because this way it really is a great festival. And Saturday is kind of like Freedom Day anyway for us, right? Hey, we don't have to work today. Yay, probably don't even have to work tomorrow. Oh, that's awesome. Again, so, you know, we want to always try to make sure as best as we can that the, you know, that the dogs are enjoying it. You know, we as humans tend to think that we think like dogs, but we don't. We think like humans. How could we think like dogs when we're not dogs? But again, making sure that we don't do things to reinforce fear, reinforce aggression, reinforce dominant behaviors, reinforce something we don't want is really super important. I can't even tell you how many people, clients, I mean, I've been just slammed with clients, 2, 3 every day I'm around here. And I've got clients in Missouri, got clients in Pennsylvania, I've got clients in California and in Florida, and literally every state other than Hawaii, the only place I haven't been fixing a dog. So, and yes, I have been to, I have helped clients in Alaska, but haven't gone there personally, but we do have a number of our people in Alaska as well. So, thinking like a dog, if we're doing something, let's say with noise, or a dog is reactive to something, most people do exactly what they shouldn't. First thing is they coddle the dog as if it were a child. Oh, honey, it's okay. It's only fireworks. It's okay to keep being afraid of fireworks. Oh, well, no, but that's not what I meant. But that's what you did, because dogs think like dogs. So when you have a dog who's reactive or sensitive or whatever, and you're telling them, it's okay. I know it's humans. You think you know, but you don't know. My phrase I always tell all of my 200-plus students and graduates of United Canine Professionals who are natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialists, like I tell them, you don't know what you don't know. And generally, in anything that's worth being good at it, you don't know how much you don't know. And like, let's say, you know, you say, wow, it's really easy to ride a horse. Look at, you know, Janice makes it look easy. She's got this big, giant Lipizzan stallion named Merlin. She just sits on that horse. He just does all these really cool tricks, and he does all these fancy things, and oh, wow, isn't that fun? Isn't that cool? And then I put them on Merlin. Obviously, this is years ago. Merlin's, and he's crossed the Rainbow Bridge. I'm sure he never even touched the Rainbow Bridge. He probably jumped over the Rainbow Bridge and flew over it. But, you know, I would put somebody who just said, wow, I can't believe how trained the horse is. It's like you're doing nothing. And then I put them on him, and I don't give him any cues from, you know, from, I used to give them voice commands for the people who didn't know what they didn't know. And they go, oh, he's not doing anything. And they try kicking him, and he'd kind of like look at me like, oh, Mom, here's another one who doesn't know what he doesn't know. And then I'd say, okay, Merlin, march, march, march. And he'd do what we call a high trot or a march, the Lipizzan stallions. I have quite a few. I have actually more than I need. I'd love to find some wonderful homes for some of my Lipizzans. Because they're just magnificent. But Merlin was amazing as a stallion. And he would just, in the morning, he could be bred to a nice mare, and then in the afternoon, I'd use him for horse camp. Merlin was the epitome of perfection. And I could tell him from the ground, march, march, and he would march. Or I could say trot, and he would trot. I could say walk, he would walk. I'd say down for chest let down, bow for him to bow. He did a rear and strike over my head for one of my Christmas pictures one year. And it was just very cool because I could take this stallion anywhere. We could go around mares. We could go around little kids. He was like the best horse in the world, and he was like the best dog in the world. He was like my dog. It's behavior is behavior is behavior. The key is understanding why dogs do what dogs do versus why horses or bunnies or cows or sheep or deer do what they do. Now, think like a dog. Dogs are what naturally? Are they predator or prey? Predator is the one who does the chasing. Prey is the one who is chased. Well, obviously, dogs eat meat. They're carnivores, which is why they have the teeth shaped like they are. So if a carnivore, by very definition, has to be able to kill something, so they have a certain shaped teeth, they have a certain way of either being able to get food or finding stuff, or they would have died. They would have never had natural selection, and they wouldn't have survived. So thinking about that for a minute, a dog should not be fearful. It's not normal for a predator to be afraid. If a predator is afraid of going near other animals, he's not going to be able to kill something, and that's a problem. So that's why fear in a dog can turn very easily into fear aggression, because it's an anomaly, it's an abnormality in the temperament. That doesn't mean that dogs don't go through fear phases. Of course, between 4 and 8 months, they go through a fear impact. 6 to 10 months, roughly, they go through a flight instinct. And then 10 to 14 months, again, they go back through another fear impact stage. Some dogs, it goes till about 15 months. But after that, they should not be afraid anymore. Now, what can make a dog fearful? Well, if you think about like a little dog, like a Chihuahua, and imagine somebody holding them in their right arm, right up to their chest, right up to their like their armpit area, and they're holding the dog in front of them, and the dog is afraid, or the dog growls at somebody, or the dog lunges at somebody, or snaps at somebody, or the dog is trying to get under your arm and trying to get away. If we hold that dog and we pet him or tell him it's okay, Fluffy, it's only Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith is a nice lady. She makes the best pies ever. And she, if you're really good, Mrs. Smith may make you a pie because she's going to love to make you a nice doggy pie. Really? But you guys do. You have full-length conversations with your dog when it's afraid, which is fine to do with a child. The child understands the words, but a dog does not understand the words. My friend used to use cucumber and artichoke for sit and lie down, and a very nice, very pretty blonde lady out in California, I'm sorry for the stereotype, but it just happened to be this way. She looks and she goes, oh my gosh, look at the dog. He thinks cucumber means sit. I feel so sorry for him. He doesn't even know that we're playing a game on him. And everybody just looked at her like, okay, the stories are all true and the jokes are all true. Very sorry, but no, the dog isn't thinking that way. A dog just is using whatever it heard, whatever the sound was. It knows, I get a cookie if I get that. So, again, don't reinforce the exact behavior you don't want. If that Chihuahua or that little dog that somebody's holding, if instead of saying it's okay to keep growling or lunging at that person, if instead of that, you now say, you shush the dog, you correct the dog, and then it just keep going back to what you were doing, maybe talking with somebody. If you're able to do that, your dog is going to pick up on the fact that, oh, I wasn't allowed to do that, I wasn't supposed to do that, and not only wasn't I allowed to or wasn't I supposed to do that, but I'm not going to be able to do that or need to do that because I'm not in charge. I'm not doing the providing and protecting. So again, make sure you don't reinforce exactly what it is that your dog, you know, is afraid of. You're just going to make yourself more problems. So we're going to talk a little bit more about other ways to kind of 4th of July proof, holiday proof, firework proof your dog. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be Healthy Goo, healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf and Wispity Bonnie Dog. We're having so much fun with today's show. We want you to have fun with your dog outside, enjoying yourself, but not around the fireworks as we're talking about. So some of the other things that you can do if you have a dog who's noise sensitive is go on the internet and pick up a couple little recordings. Same thing as I do with a baby to make a baby bubble. My trademarked word for keeping a dog away from a baby's personal space is the baby bubble. Well, we can also have firework bubbles. We can have chair bubbles. We can have old person bubbles, young person bubbles. The key is not to allow the dog to be reinforced in the behavior that you don't want him to continue. And that's the biggest problem with people is you just don't know what you don't know. Read my book. My book is great, and it's really, really a terrific way to be able to understand and to learn what I'm talking about here. Very easy read as well. Remember, it's called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Dog Behavior 101, and you can get it on Amazon. So if you have a dog who is, you know, a little bit nervous or it's a little bit fearful, it's your first year with fireworks, let's say, you don't know how the dog is going to behave or react, don't take the dog outside, especially in an area that's going to reverberate. So let's say you're in a canyon or you're at the top of a mountain, you know, where you're going to see the fireworks. It's going to go bang, 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 bang 10 or 20 times because it's going to echo in the mountain or in the valley. Again, best place for your dog when there are fireworks in your town, let him go where he feels comfortable so that you don't have a problem with your dog and that your dog doesn't end up doing something that is going to, like, let him run away. Last year, I believe it was, I had a client in Connecticut. I have a lot of clients, but this particular client who was in Connecticut, and I had seen, you know, several years before, they were going to have to put the dog to sleep. Now, they don't have to put the dog to sleep because the dog is the best dog in the world, but it was super fearful. They were camping around the 4th of July, and, of course, there were fireworks. Now, during the time there were fireworks, unfortunately, the dog was out with them while they were camping. They couldn't do anything about it. The dog was on a leash. It broke the actual collar, so all the tags and everything came off the dog, and the dog took off. It was so sad because they kept calling and telling me all the different things, and they were very worried about the dog. And, of course, you know, it's very hard when you have a dog. And now they stayed there for weeks and weeks and trying to, you know, it was like at least a week and a half that they were actually there. They finally had to go home. But what they did was they contacted me, and I was able to go up there, and we did find the dog, and he's fine. But it was scary, and it was because the fireworks spooked the dog, and it wasn't even at the home. So when you spook the dog, and now the dog is afraid, it kind of goes into that fear, you know, fear phase, and it goes, oh, my gosh, I got to get away. And the dog was like, eventually, they, when we found it, it was about 5 miles away from where it had been lost, which is not actually that far. But the dog was trying to run and trying to get away from all of the sound. So, again, make sure that if you are outside, you have either a martingale or gentle leader or something that's going to be able to keep your dog from running away. You don't want your dog to run away. So we want to make sure, again, not to do something without thinking about it, make sure the dog is secured. If it's possible, to keep them even in the car or something so that, you know, that your dog isn't going to be taking off. So the next thing to do during the year is get them used to different noises and different sounds, different smells, different sights. Don't take the dog out just one time. Take the dog out over and over and over so it becomes very acclimated to it. It's like saying a dog is afraid of, you know, afraid of cars. Don't shy away from cars. Obviously, don't run towards the cars, but walk like you're walking to hunt. Remember we talked about the hunt walk? Go and the dog is with you. Don't think of like, oh, I've got to take the dog for a walk. You're walking. The dog is walking with you. You're in charge, right? So the dog shouldn't be leading you. You should be leading the dog. That's the first thing. The second thing is, when you're walking, don't keep staring at the dog. The more you look at the dog, the more the dog starts to think, uh-oh, I must be in charge. Kind of like, remember in the Superman movie where Superman scoops up Lois Lane and she's plummeting through the atmosphere and she's falling down towards Earth and she's terrified and screaming and he scoops her up and she says, she looks down and she goes, oh, and Superman looks at her and says, don't worry, Lois, I've got you. And she looks at him and says, you've got me. Who's got you? Well, same thing. If you're staring at your dog, you're focusing on your dog, then who's got you? Who's taking care of the pack? Who's taking care of your dog and everyone else? So don't stare at your dog. You can glance at your dog and look at your dog here and there. But if your dog is afraid and you keep looking at him to see what he's going to do, he's going to get the feeling that he's in charge. It's like watching like a teacher who might have a student who's unruly, and the teacher keeps staring at the child, let me see if Johnny's going to do that again. Instead of the teacher correcting Johnny and saying, hey, Johnny, knock it off, and going back to teaching. So just by the very way you're doing things, when you're looking at the dog and staring at him, you're turning him into more of a leader than he even was before. Now, if it's a dominant dog, he's going to take that as, okay, I got it, and I'm in charge. If it's a fearful dog, the dog may get more fearful. Typically, they do, because the dog now looks like, I don't want to be in charge. I don't want to be the leader. I don't want to do this. Don't make me do this. And unfortunately, when you're doing that, the dog then starts to become more fearful and maybe even fear aggressive because he doesn't want to do that job. He's not wired that way, but you're making him do that job. And it's really, really sad, but a lot of people do that. Don't let yourself be one of those and falls into that trap. Make sure that your dog is below you, happily below you, not having to work, not having to provide and protect, not having to make decisions. Think about your dog like a little kid. You wouldn't tell the child something that is wrong, but you're also, when you're driving your car, if your children in the back are, you know, acting up and out of control, you're not going to stop driving, right? You're going to tell the kids, you're going to kind of glance back or look in the rearview mirror, hey, kids, knock it off, I'm driving. And you keep driving. You're not going to stare at the kids while you're driving and try to drive while you're looking back at the kids because you're going to get in a car accident. Same thing with your dog. Don't stare at him and make him feel that he's got that job now, because he will think like that. So what other things can you do kind of quickly? They do have things like ear planes. They do have, you can use cotton. Again, get your dog used to it during the year. But you can put little earplugs in, the little foam earplugs, little insulators. Make sure it's big enough that it doesn't stick all the way into the ear canal and like puncture an eardrum. Don't go all the way into the ear, because a dog's eardrums are actually pretty sensitive. And there are other things as well, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with some more after this message.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. all natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Back to For the Love a Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, what do you do? Of course, we've got our question, and it happens to be about the holidays. And people are asking, how do we keep somebody from feeding our dog during holiday time? Well, one of the reasons I think that this happens is, unfortunately, we have a lot of food around, sometimes we have alcohol around, and people don't generally follow instructions anyway, but certainly when they're tying one on, they may not follow it at all. If your dog is on any kind of a special diet or has allergies to corn, wheat, or soy, especially wheat is a big one, if your dog's got tear stains on his eyes, or if he's got a lot of allergies, itching, hot spots, things like that, that's where I use the Nuvet vitamins because they do a great job of preventing cataracts and boosting the immune system so the dog is able to fight allergies and immune issues very, very well. They're Nuvet, N-U-V-E-T.com. I believe it's 800-474-7044. It's N-U-V-E-T.com. They're called Nuvet Plus, wafers for dogs. And when you order them, you can get a 15% discount by using our order code, which is 40560. Now, a lot of times, dogs who have allergies or itching, they think about if you have a really bad mosquito bite and you're trying to take a test, all you're doing is, you know, basically scratching and itching, and you're not focusing on what you need to focus on, and you also might be a little bit more irritable. So how do you prevent people from giving your dog food? Well, first thing is, obviously, tell everyone, hey, please don't feed the dog. But you can do a little bit of a white lie on that and just say, you know, he's allergic to a lot of foods, and we're dealing with trying right now to find out what he's allergic to, so please don't give him anything. Now, some people, unless you have a lot of little kids, may actually hook you up on that and say, oh, okay, I don't want to give him anything. But the other thing you can do is have a little bucket or a little cup on each table and put in big letters, dog treats or doggy bag, okay? So this way, if you have approved, like you can use pieces of kibble or whatever. If people are going to feed the dog, at least let them feed him what you want them to feed him. And then tell them, this is, oh, we're going to put two things on there. So if you want to give him a dog treat, give them something you can give them from here, although people really shouldn't be feeding your dogs at all. But having the, even during family meals and get-togethers, have a cup or a bowl or something for the dog, and then tell people, oh, if you have any scraps or you have anything that you think the dog might like, please put it in this bowl. We're going to give it to him tonight for dinner, and he'll be really appreciative. But we're trying to teach him, you know, not to beg, so please don't give the dog food. But if you provide them with, like, a little bowl or something, they'll put the dog food or the treats, whatever they were going to give the dog, they'll give that or put that in the bowl, and then you don't even have to use all the stuff in the bowl. But tell people because, they, you know, listen, you're looking, you're going, oh, look, the poor dog. I can't tell you how many times I've had people try to stuff food in Wyatt's mouth. They go, oh, he looks hungry. No, he's a service dog. He doesn't need to be eating while I'm eating. He can't eat when he has the vest on. It's just the rule. He's not allowed to eat. So people always want to stuff food in his mouth, but it's like it gets irritating after a while. So if you have a little bucket or a little area that they can put the food, you'll tell them, hey, you know, as soon as his vest comes off, I'm going to give him this. He's going to love it. And he'll know it's from you because he can smell your scent on it. Oh, that's great. But this way, at least, you're not going to have people doing that and giving him treats. So, again, that's kind of a great way to handle things when people are trying to give your dogs food. Now, the other thing is when you do have people over at your house for the holiday, for the 4th or for Memorial Day or Labor Day or, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever, there, like I said, there's generally food around. So another thing that you can do is let everyone meet the dog, you know, bring the dogs out, you know, oh, here's the dogs, assuming they're good dogs, you know, and allow them to walk around and meet everyone. And then it's not the worst thing in the world to let the dogs go upstairs or in their bed or wherever they want to go, because then there's no temptation for people to feed the dog or to, you know, have little kids, you know, crawling on a dog or landing on the dog or drunk people kicking the dog. So just remember, keep your dog safe during the holidays and every day. And remembering, because I can't even tell you how many times I've told people, please don't look at the dog, and they look down and they go, why? What's wrong with them? Well, it's like saying, don't think of pink elephants. And all I do is say, please don't think of pink elephants, because if you think about pink elephants, it's going to be a big problem. And especially don't think of pink elephants in the refrigerator. So now all you're going to be doing is thinking of pink elephants and pink elephants in a refrigerator. So don't tell people not to do it. Call their attention to something else. Say, hey, you know, what's going on here? You know, this is, look at this, look over here. Hey, how's your wife? How are your kids? Oh, my gosh, that's great. How's the Little League going? Try to get their attention off of that and on to something else that isn't going to be deleterious and detrimental to your dogs, okay? So, you know, we've got a lot that in this season, especially in the summer, that, you know, we want to try to make sure the dog stays safe and, you know, happy and healthy. So just be aware that, you know, people aren't always going to do what you ask them to do, but at least ask. Try to train the humans, because good luck on that one. Dogs are much easier to teach than humans are. But if you kind of remind them and just say, hey, do me a favor, please, you know, we're trying to check. We think he's allergic to certain, you know, people foods. Please don't feed the dog anything. But if there is something, put it into this little bucket, and this way, you know, we'll be able to give it to him later. We'll just check. Kind of like Halloween candy. That's what I explain to my clients. You know, it's like your kids. You tell your kids first thing, don't eat the Halloween candy. You got to bring it home. Let me check it out, and then I'm going to give it back to you. It's the same concept, making sure that the dog isn't going to be accessing anything that could potentially be dangerous for him. By the way, just on that subject, peanut butter and some of the peanut butter cookies that are out there now have something called xylitol, X-Y-L-I-T-O-L. Xylitol is an artificial sweetener that is toxic to dogs. It's in sugar-free gums, mints, candies, sometimes sugar-free chocolates, but obviously we don't worry about xylitol or sorbitol or mannitol in chocolate, because everybody knows not to give their dogs chocolate because it's toxic, so are onions and a whole list of other foods. The problem is peanut butter, not all peanut butter, but some peanut butters are being sweetened with xylitol now instead of cane sugar or honey or whatever. Read your labels. Make sure that it does not contain anything with xylitol, okay? Xylitol, sorbitol, and mannitol are all, and there's other ones as well, are man-made chemicals. They're sugars, but they're really not, it's more like a saccharide. So you don't want to use xylitol, and because, you know, most people know that, but they don't realize that some of the peanut butters and other processed and prepared foods are that we might give our dog are actually sweetened with that. So even a cookie that might have peanut butter in it, not necessarily a dog cookie, although, you know, we don't know that either. When it says peanut butter, you know, you can get in trouble with that. So please make sure you're careful. Also, if you need help with your dog, contact us at 855-4-CANINE-PROS. That's 855 855- 859-7767. Get a copy of my book, SHHH Happens, Dog Behavior 101. Don't forget to contact us if you have anybody who knows a great dog or needs a service dog, or if you want to make a donation or volunteer or foster for our amazing organization, Merlin's Kids, 855-HI-WYATT. I have to let you all go. Please have a wonderful holiday. Happy, healthy, and be good to your dogs. Have a great day.